Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 8. After leaving Jim's house, Andrew had decided that they shouldn't go too far away. They still had to make sure Jim went out the next day and met the fate Howard had designed for him. Andrew managed to break into one of the parked cars, where they huddled under their coats and a blanket they found in the back seat. The night had been long and uncomfortable, and Feline complained more than once. When morning came, they were stiff and hungry, but far from the popsicles Andrew had feared. They stayed in the back seat, keeping their heads down whenever a pedestrian walked by. Finally, Jim emerged from the house, wearing his fedora hat and coat. He closed the door behind him and took a few steps down to the street, being careful not to slip in the snow, when the door was opened again. Ginger came out, still pulling on a coat, and ran after him, barely taking the time to slam the door behind her.
"What the hell?" Andrew said. "Is she supposed to come along? I thought it was just him who got shot."
"No, of course not."
Feline looked like she had an epiphany.
"Think about it. He only came home early last night because we took him home. He was supposed to stay out with his wife, but because we sent his partner right to him, Jim went somewhere else. We brought him back here, and he found out she was screwing around. He wasn't supposed to do that, and because she's supposed to die today, in the other timeline, he never knew about it."
"Why didn't Howard tell us to make sure she died then?"
"Because he probably didn't consider her important next to his precious immortal. He didn't strike me as a guy who cared about people he didn't have a use for."
"You're right. But why is she still coming with him? They don't look like they're just having a friendly stroll."
Andrew peeked up and followed Jim and Ginger with his eyes as they walked down the street. Ginger was talking and gesturing, while Jim walked a little slumped, hands in his pockets.
"They look like they're still having a fight. Of course, since he busted her with another man, he's probably still very upset."
"Come on, let's follow them before they get too far ahead."
Feline opened the car door, shivered in the colder air, and stepped out on the street. Andrew followed her, and together they began tailing the couple in front, always keeping a distance that meant they couldn't hear them talking, but never losing sight of them.
"Do you think he knows we're following him?"
Feline said.
"If he doesn't, he's not the detective he's supposed to be. We made it clear how important this was to us, but we don't know how much he told his wife, so let's still keep back a bit. Not to mention, I have no desire to be gunned down by a stray bullet."
Ginger and Jim kept walking for what seemed like an eternity, and Andrew's toes felt like ice in his shoes, when finally the event they had waited for happened. Ginger and Jim were on the sidewalk about 100 feet ahead and had actually taken each other's hands when a parked car opened its doors. 4 men got out, each of them carrying a heavy Tommy gun. Feline's cat reflexes kicked in, and she pulled Andrew down behind another parked car just before the guns began firing. The gunfire was incredibly loud. Andrew had shot many different weapons when he was young and in his training to join the FBI before the world completely fell apart, but the Tommy guns made a racket like nothing he'd ever heard before. The gunfire lasted for what seemed an eternity, Drowning out the screams, Andrew knew had to be there as well. When they finally ceased, both Andrew and Feline's ears were ringing, but Feline's ears were sharp enough that she could still hear the gunmen arguing.
"What the hell did you do that for, you twit? We're not here to gun broads down. It was just supposed to be him."
I didn't mean to, Mickey. I just slipped on the snow."
"Fuck this. I think they're both dead. Christ, what a mess. Let's split before someone gets eyes on us."
Andrew looked out from behind the car and saw the four gunmen get into their car and drive off. He and Feline got to their feet and ran to the two fallen bodies on the sidewalk. Both Ginger and Jim had been hit by multiple shots. Under Ginger's body was a quickly spreading pool of blood, but under Jim, there was nothing. Andrew looked down at Jim's body, where holes in the clothes made it clear where the bullets had struck, but there were no wounds on the skin beneath. As he put his hand into Jim's shirt, he felt a flutter under his palm, and then a heartbeat started. Jim made a gasping sound as air entered his lungs. Andrew got to his feet and stepped away from the bodies. Other people came running, some giving orders, some shouting for a meat wagon. Andrew took Feline's arm and led her away from the scene. Both of them felt something happening, something like the air before a thunderstorm, where electricity is almost tangible.
"This must be it," Feline whispered. "Time's changing."
Andrew held her tight, not knowing exactly what would happen. The next moment, there was a kind of white flash in front of his eyes, and suddenly, he remembered.
"Oh my God,"
he said, almost breathless, as memories, his but at the same time not his, came rushing back.
"Feline, you died. You..."
She held him tight.
"I did, but I didn't. Not here. Not where we are now."
"You're right."
He kept his mouth close to her ear.
"I remember everything now. I remember both lives. I remember Jim and Mercedes and Charlie. Their world must be restored now. And there's another Andrew there with them."
"We did it, Andrew! We did it!"
She took her face away from his cheek and looked him in the eyes.
"And we're still here."
"Yes. Good old Howard. He did come through for us in the end, after all."
"If it really was him, who knows?"
Feline shrugged.
"He did say he didn't even know what would happen. So, now what? We saved the world, right?"
"We did.
So I think we deserve breakfast. And then, let's get the hell out of this town."
"Can we go back to California?"
Feline said.
"I miss being warm."
"We can't go to California. Remember, we have to stay the hell out of history's way now. And that means we couldn't ever go places where our other selves would be. We know too much about the future."
"I don't really know anything about the future."
"Well, I do. I think we'd better keep our heads down somewhere remote. But that doesn't mean we can't be warm. How does Mexico sound? At this point in time, I don't think it will be any problem getting across the border. We can find a little place somewhere and just be ourselves."
"I like the sound of that."
Andrew took her hand as they began walking away from the scene behind them, where Jim Corrigan slowly sat up, supported by helping hands. Jim looked down the street and caught a glimpse of the two, but didn't say anything. He knew he would see them again.